Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
James Beattie, oh, Belter!
Mané for the hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mané!
Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley!
Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike!
Will pass this shit, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Militant. Find me on Twitter, at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 207. Another terrible week with the heavy defeats to Sunderland and Leicester. Russell Martin and co responded with a further two more defeats to make it four in a row now. This time at home to Ipswich on Tuesday night, then on Teesside for an embarrassing defeat to bottom of the table, Middlesbrough. We found ourselves slipping down that championship table to 15th, and with Leeds on the horizon and no end to all these errors, I fear things may be getting worse before they get better. But with me to discuss the latest collapse, we have the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazance. Good afternoon, fellas. Miserable week again. But before we get down to that, let's talk about your weeks. How have you been, Kevin? Let's start with you.
I've been all right. Had a long journey, so that took up a lot of my week, and just been taking it a little bit easy.
You're back at work?
Yeah, slowly getting into it.
Good stuff. And Tim, how about you?
Productive, successful, despite our collapse.
Good stuff. So yeah, these games, they're coming thick and fast now. Started off on Tuesday night with that wet and windy return to St Mary's. Another defeat. Yet more sloppy play out from the back. Shea Charles was robbed of possession and we were punished. Seems to be a broken record. Russell Martin continuing to put these youngsters in positions where they're failing, and it's kind of zapping the confidence of them, him and everybody. One mistake at this level was destroying our chances, really, isn't it? And then, you know, onto the Borough game. And that became a must win. considering their start. And then once again, we come away with nothing. And mistakes costing us once more. Mason Holgate this time. And then Taylor Harwood-Bellis grabbing a shirt to give Middlesbrough a penalty for their first win of the season. It's just absolutely miserable.
I'm straight up not having a good time right now. It's not enjoyable watching, obviously, Southampton, but collectively, I'm a big guy who wants to watch soccer all around any day, any time. But I just don't enjoy it. I haven't enjoyed it now for the last few weeks, and it's soul crushing at times to something that I previously have enjoyed, and now I don't. And maybe I shouldn't let it affect my well-being in any way, and I don't think I have on a professional sense, but personally, I can definitely feel it's dragging on me.
Yeah, and Kev, it's been going on for a while, hasn't it? Since the days of Ralph Hasenhüttl, really. We had that little bit of a, I suppose the good form can be classified as a blip in August of this year, and then all of a sudden, right back to it again. It's just ever since Sport Republic have taken over, it's just been a miserable, miserable time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever really been one that idealised it as the solution to all of our problems. And yeah, things have been getting progressively worse. I think we were lulled into a bit of a false sense of security at the beginning of the season. That, you know, we had that little unbeaten run, but that's long in the past now, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, we don't take it too seriously. Move on to the next one, and that's all we can do. But yeah, if you would like to join our Discord, then please get in touch. It's free to enter. Send us a message, email, whatever, and we'll get you in. And also, if you want to support the show in any way, then please visit buymeacoffee.com/in-that-number. Guys, we got a little bit of news to talk about. Mainly, I want to discuss Russell Martin in the news. So I hope you guys are ready. So strap yourselves in and let's get on with this.
Will do.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Right, okay, so we'll start with the new coaching appointments. Yeah, for the academy, including head coaches for the under-21s and the under-18s. Ricky King will join as head of coaching from the 1st of October. He spent time with New York Red Bulls, Vancouver Whitecaps, and Swansea City. He's been credited with the development of Alphonso Davies and Tyler Adams. So this is good news. Adam Asghar will be the new under-21 head coach. He was at Sunderland and coached them to the under-18s runners-up last season. Callum McFarlane will be the new under-18 head coach, and he joins from, yeah, you guessed it, Man City. So another one poached from them. And lastly, Jack Chapman has been appointed as head of academy of recruitment. I'm not sure if we had an academy recruitment. Wasn't that just Jason Wilcox before?
Yeah, maybe.
I know this next bit of news is linked to the Ipswich game, but I thought we'd chat about this in the news segment. Tim Brucker, he brought this up on the Discord following the defeat to Ipswich on Tuesday. It was Ipswich winger Wes Burns said that our game plan was too predictable. Our passes were too easy to read. You know, this is something we've been saying for a while now, that this is Martin's style, and once we get found out, there's a blueprint. He doesn't have any other way to play. So in that respect, we must be done for the season. Going to have to rely on being unpredictable and not making those mistakes, which seems a long way off at the moment. What did you make of that, firstly, Kev, when you heard that interview? Was it just bullshit from Wes Burns, or is it something that we really do need to pay attention to?
Bit of both, really. I think if we've got this brand of football that seems to be, how can I put it, homogenous, maybe, then yeah, you do run the risk of getting found out. You know, I don't think that Ipswich were within their rights to sort of boast that they'd found this. They scraped through, didn't they? It wasn't like a resounding, thumping victory like Sunderland had over us. I think if Sunderland had come out and said something similar, it would be difficult to disagree. But yeah,
this is obviously only in like the Suffolk papers and stuff that he wouldn't have gone onto the Daily Echo and said something like that. But yeah, I'll read it out for you anyway, if you haven't heard it, Tim, and you tell me what you think, right? There's a misconception where when a team has a lot of possession, it feels like we're under the cosh. It's very different when you're out there. We have such a strong, disciplined shape, so we knew exactly what they were going to do before they were doing it. It was easy to read where their passes were going, and you saw a lot of the time they were kicking balls away off the field or straight to us because we're shutting angles that we knew they want to play. Their manager has been at MK Dons, Swansea, and now Southampton, so we knew that the structures and the ways that they play would be very similar. They're a very possession-based team. You've got fullbacks rolling into midfield. We knew that blocking the middle and not letting any passes through would be key tonight.
That is spot on and said well better than a lot of us could even say, because he's 100% correct. We recognized that Russell Martin playing at MK Dons and Swansea, exactly that same style. So to us, when he was coming into the team, we thought that we could take his style, implement it on our own, and with the pure talent that we would have, we could level up the game beyond what he was able to provide at Swansea. Better players all around. And in the first, you know, the first half, just in August alone, we are looking at, I won't say scraping by, but figuring out what is the best model for us to get. And then with our players, and there were some outgoings, obviously, with Ward-Prowse and Tella, and just kind of making it work. Whereas once we hit Sunderland, they knew us, they figured it out, and they recognized what was necessary, and the blueprint was there. He hasn't changed anything except for maybe the players that this, except towards the, with now most recently in this game. And Ipswich being drilled, he was able to explain that they found us out. And while they weren't on their best, nobody's going to be their best every game, but they made the best of what they, to be able to beat us. And we've been beating ourselves. The problem is looking back at the last games through Sunderland, you know, we've let in 5 to Sunderland, 4 to Leicester, 1 to Ipswich, 2 to Middlesbrough. There is one goal that Sunderland had based on pure class and also one for Leicester. The remaining goals have been individual errors that have led to it. So it's a systematic flaw that combined with the individual errors, which they were put in because of the system, has led to our demise for the last four or five games now. There's issues all around, but it does stem from the system itself, and we have been found out, and we are close to being frauds.
Yeah, it's amazing that not many more people have players that have played against us have come out and said more about this, actually. God, I just hate to think what Leeds are going to do to us, Kev, if that blueprint is there. Then it's going to be a long season, I think. And, you know, you predicted that we'd be a mid-table championship side. Everyone else was going for promotion or, playoff pushing. But just a far cry from that now, isn't it? And I do want to discuss, guys, Russell Martin, as I said. So we'll go into that because we do need to talk about him. And I don't like naming names and pointing the finger at one person. And I don't want to do that. That's not what we're about. Apart from when it's Gavin Bisouni. whether you're happy to stick or twist with the manager, you know, it's all welcome. So I'm happy to hear both sides. I mean, he's not solely to blame, really, is he, for the whole lot? Because the defensive errors, it's one mistake and it's costly and it's gifting goals. We're losing games because of these. That's on the players. The players are too negative, though. They're playing like they don't want to be here. There's no leadership. There doesn't seem to be a lot of communication out there. There's no passion. And they're just fucking up the basics, really, aren't they? But the system that Russell Martin is trying, it's too predictable. We've heard from West Burns. We're not good enough to play like this. And I don't think he's going to change it. His constant tinkering with team selection. I mean, he has a set group of players that he will always play if available. And Alcaraz being left out in the cold. He seems to be opting for a Rebo ahead of him. Even though anything.
I've heard a bit of the reasoning behind Alcaraz. I mean, he says that there's a lot of you don't see sort of off the pitch, that he's, he doesn't really speak English that much, and all the Spanish speakers have left, and he's got some family issues. His head's just not in the right place.
Yeah, you're right. And he said that he's blaming it on a language barrier, and it's not the right time to play him when the team is struggling. Yeah. But I get that we don't see him every day and we don't know what he's like in training. But if you're not going to play him for that reason, then why are you putting him on the bench at all? Why even consider putting him there? What's that going to do?
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, I think, you know, the whole team's struggling. So whoever you put in is going to struggle. Yeah, I don't think there's ever a right or a wrong time to play a player unless there's an injury involved.
Yeah, well, exactly. But, Kev, what needs to change? Like, is he playing for his job right now? Well, that's true. But, yeah, is Russell Martin actually playing for his job? Is there a case or a scenario where Sport Republic are going to say, look, enough's enough. We can't keep playing this way. We can't keep losing this way. If not, why not?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I think as a manager, yes, you're always playing for your job, aren't you? If you're not winning, then you're playing for your job and we're not winning. And, you know, given the history we've had with the previous managers, Ruben Saez and Nathan Jones, I think if we compare them to Russell Martin, the previous two are maybe more out of their depth. And Russell Martin's shown what can be done if the players play to the system and it works. We didn't see that really with the previous two managers. They were kind of just, you know, if we had a good game, it was more the exception. We're just stuck in a rut at the moment. And it's debatable. You could argue that's down to the players and that they're not enthusiastic enough, not following the system as precisely, that they're not concentrating as much. Could be partly down to Russell Martin that he doesn't have much of a plan B. We said that with Ralph before, great manager, but yeah, doesn't really have a plan B for when we got found out. Is it down to the management for not the board not backing all of the managers with giving us a squad that's capable of getting out of this league? You know, it's going to be a bit of all of those, isn't it?
Yeah, Jason Wilcox has got to take the blame on that. I mean, when they had at the end of the window, Russell Martin and Jason Wilcox both seemed happy with the recruitment, of course. But now, I don't know, they're not going to say that it was a mistake. Tim, we got the likes of Samuel Dozy, we've got Stuart Armstrong, we've got Suleimana, we've got Alcaraz, and we're leaving them out for this ultra-defensive unit of Charles Smallbone Downs, who can only seem to play sideways, backwards. And then we let the likes of like Nathan Teller leave because, I don't know, the money was too good to refuse. It seems like it's all about the money. This team on paper isn't 15th in the championship. It shouldn't be 15th in the championship. We should be up there with Leicester and looking at promotion. This was what they wanted. They said that they want to be going straight back into the Premier League. But this, I fear this opportunity is slipping because, you know, Russell Martin isn't making anything happen.
We will be lucky to get the playoffs this year because you see the likes of Leicester, who's looks set to win the league, and Leeds, who are absolutely fantastic, and I'll allude to in the preview that their attack is just ridiculous in terms of depth and quality. So to me, you know, that's us then to push for the playoffs. Right now we're sitting in 15th, but we're 3 points behind third place. So that's the only optimism. The only optimism I can take from it is that we're not that far behind. Now our goal difference is absolute trash and we're going to have to make up for it through the rest of the season and completely smack somebody who absolutely deserves it. And let's hope Rotherham can be that team. But to me, if you have 10 of the last 12 goals be set up because of individual errors, I've said it with Russell Martin, it's the positioning that leads to those errors. But if you have 10 of the last 12 goals, that's the players themselves too. And you know, Martin has done a very passive style, and I feel like he's been regressive because he's trying to push more defensive, but we've lost our attack. I think our midfield is extremely poor, and I think our center backs are not destined to be able to provide those quick passes, the short passes out of the back. And Manning doesn't look like he himself from last year for Swansea. And
none of them look themselves from last year. Like Taylor Harwood-Bellis as well. What's happened to him?
Yes. I mean, well, I was raving about him as the best player, but, you know, he's a 21-year-old, so maybe you can chalk it up to he just needs to get his, you know,
he's
his feet under him.
He's a 21-year-old that won the league last year.
He is, and he won the Euros as the captain of the U21 team.
So he knows how to win games.
You're hoping for more, and I will hold out hope and still have some semblance of optimism for him. But when the players are making these problems, these leading to these mistakes and these goals. You can't do that. Like, it just, you can't do that. And so to defend Martin there, 10 of the 12 goals, that's just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, I get that. But then if we're looking at the 11, especially the midfield three that started against Middlesbrough, Kev, it doesn't really seem to be a more attacking balance with it, really, because it was defensive, wasn't it? It was negative selection. And we got the likes of Stuart Armstrong and Solomona, who are more, and Adosie, who are more willing to try and make things happen. But when you select players that just want to go backwards, sideways, and try and protect the ball, then that's down to Russell Martin, surely. The wrong players at the wrong time.
I think so, but, you know, he's damned if he doesn't, damned if he doesn't, because if we play a more of an attacking formation and have the fullbacks pushed right up and everyone attacking them, we see those big scorelines like we did against Sunderland and Leicester, and now he's more cautious in his choice of selection.
That worked out well as well, didn't it?
Well, looking to damage limitation, and we know we've only conceded 3 goals in the last 2 matches, so definitely.
And how many have we scored?
Positive, isn't it? That doesn't matter. You don't know. These are just piffling little things. You're worried about scoring goals. It's not
you don't need to score goals in football.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
But it's his tactics as well, Kevin. It's like, how many times are we going to be outnumbered on the counters? I mean, you commit so many men forward at the corners, and then you're caught on a counter, and it's always like 3 or 4 against 1. And this isn't just one match. This wasn't just the Middlesbrough one. This is happening all season, all over the place. Middlesbrough could have had a third at the end as well, and they hit the post. Tactically, we're just not there either. I think it's a mixture of players making stupid mistakes. It's a mixture of Russell Martin's tactics and not selecting the right players. Just everything seems to be a mess at the moment. And Shay Adams, he doesn't really seem to be firing. I mean, is there off-field issues there, do you think? I mean, because he hasn't signed this new deal that's being offered to him. This vice-captaincy seems to have vanished. And Martin has said he's not concerned as long as he's giving his all, which he does in training. But does that suggest he's not doing it on a match day? Because we've seen him miss chances again, both in Ipswich and the Borough games.
Yeah, he's been off the boil ever since all these transfer rumours have come and gone. Doesn't seem to be in the right headspace, although you could probably say the same with Armstrong. You know, he was putting them in. He was averaging a goal a game, and then that's just gone to shit now as well. So, yeah, well, I mean, I don't think we can look at blaming just Che.
No, of course not. But he doesn't really seem to be himself since those rumours.
No, that's definitely true.
Yeah, and I saw a comment on Twitter, actually, during our years outside the Prem, which was, what, 2005 to 2012, we've never lost 5 in a row. And suddenly we're staring at this right in the face now, because I can't see us stopping that against Leeds. And
we did it in the Premier League, but didn't we? I think we had 6 in a row, didn't we? Well, under Mark Hughes.
Yeah. That's another level, isn't it? But I don't know. I just get the sense that when we were down in the Championship and in League One, you didn't feel this bad before. And we're not supposed to be in that position anymore. We're supposed to be in a much better position. And as I said, look at the team on paper. We're just not concerned about it. It's just the way that we're going about it. And this whole trust the process bollocks. I mean, do you actually trust the process? I mean, how long is this system going to take to settle? Because let's not forget, right, that Leicester have got a new manager. They've had players leaving. There's a new system. They're sitting with 7 wins out of 8. And they appointed the right man for the job to take them up. Mm. Martin has already proved that he's not that guy. And leaving it until Christmas isn't going to change a thing. Apart from it's going to be just more difficult to recoup this goal difference and, you know, the points. He's lost the fans' trust. He's lost my trust. The system doesn't work, and I don't see a way back from this.
Yeah, there is. Just win a game, and then...
Just one game.
People start to forget it. Yeah, that bad run will be ended. Just forget it. But you just need to start winning. That's it. I don't know how much longer he's going to be in the job if he continues this. I mean... Losing six games in a row. I think he can probably keep his job after that. 7, yeah, that's going to just look ridiculous. Start losing to Rotherham, you know.
Oh, God, don't say that. So those lot up the road, they're top of the league. There could be a meeting next season. Well, who knows? They could go up, we could go down.
That's the way it's looking at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Are you trusting in this process, Kevin? Are you willing to give Russell Martin more time?
I'm not sure what the process is. I mean, my judgment was definitely reserved on Russell Martin, same as it was for Nathan Jones, just because he's not proven himself even really at the Championship level that he's capable of taking a big team. You've got to remember, Southampton, we are a big team, taking us back into the Premier League. Hasn't got that experience. Doesn't look like it's going to happen this season. What was the point in getting him? Could we have got a bigger name?
Neil Warnock's available.
I actually love Neil Warnock. I don't know if I'd want him as our manager, but he's brilliant.
He wouldn't take any shit, would he? He would sort them out.
You really wouldn't, yeah. Beat the shit out of Shea Adams sometimes.
Shake him, yeah. How about you, Tim? What are you? Are you trusting the process, or are you saying we need to pull the trigger and appoint someone who knows what they're doing?
I actually did. I mean, I think it was a phenomenal setup. I thought we, to the best of our ability. Now we were selling players and recognized that there's a lot of downfall and since for September, we get shellacked by Leeds. That's 5 losses in a row in which we've looked absolutely terrible. Gotta stop the rot at some point. I don't see him surviving the Leeds game if we get beat.
So would you agree with that?
You can't lose 5 games in a row in this league. You can't lose 5 games in a row.
Especially with the team that we've got, with the money that we've got, the players that we've got, and the infrastructure that this team has, you can't lose 5 in a row. In the manner that we've been doing it.
Then you've got to cut it loose, because then if you have any semblance of a savior like De Zerbi did and came in and was absolutely fantastic for Brighton and picked them up even more than Graham Potter left them. Using that as an example, there is opportunity there, but who do you get in is even more important than letting Martin go. So if you have that person, you pull the trigger. Who is that?
Nathan Jones is available.
Yeah, Jesse Marsh is too.
Yeah.
So if you can convince Graham Potter to come manage us, you pull the trigger. Especially if we lose against Leeds,
it's never going to happen.
But if you have Potter lined up, you do it and you get it. But I don't see. I don't want like Rafa Benitez or anything like that. I don't want Dillis Boas or I want somebody who could come in and absolutely level the team up. And Graham Potter is the only person I see that's available that could do that.
Trouble is, Tim, we've got to trust Sport Republic to get the right thing done, and they haven't done it yet. So whoever they select, you're going to have problems, but not everyone's going to agree with it.
The money he's on after Chelsea just sat around doing nothing. It's going to take quite a big job to coach Potter back into management at the moment. We're not a club that's allowed, we don't have the ability to do that.
No, they certainly won't do that. It's just, we're talking about this like it's a done thing, like Russell Martin has gone. But, I honestly think that even if we do get beat by Leeds, which is very likely to happen, that they'll stick with him. They trust in the process. I don't think they have any plans to fire him, Potter. I just want to see someone that can get us to play to our strengths. Someone that knows that the players that we've got on the bench and use them in a way where we're going to score goals and not concede any and not in the system that we're playing at the moment, because it clearly doesn't work. And I saw this tweet on Twitter, obviously, Kev, from Archer's Road End. He said, Russell Martin could have stayed in West Sussex, been a PE teacher and had a nice life, married a lovely local girl, but he wanted to push himself. That made me laugh a little bit.
Definitely. It's going to roll on. The debate's going to roll on. You have to eat, you know, a little bit early to shout Martin out already.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And we knew this was going to be a long-term project. I mean, it's possible that we wouldn't get promoted straight away.
Yeah, but we didn't think we'd get relegated straight away either.
Give him the time. Yeah, if we slip to the relegation places, then yeah, okay, fair enough, he's out. But yeah, I think he needs to be given a little bit more time.
Okay, that's fine. Well said, Kev. Right, okay, so we're going to talk about some loanees a little bit moving on. You may have seen that Don Ballard, he's doing all right. They won 9-0 Reading victory, EFL trophy victory over Exeter, yeah. He came on the 63rd minute and he scored within 4 minutes and he grabbed another one in injury time. And that was Reading's biggest win since 1901. And he also got two assists as well. So well done, Don Ballard. Let's call him back. Tim, I don't know if you watched any, or you do watch any Champions League, but Amar Belakotchap, PSV, he played at the heart of their defence and they lost 4-0 to Arsenal in the Champions League. And he was subbed off when they were 4-0 down. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was, because the next game that PSV played, he wasn't in the team. So I don't know if he came off with an injury. Did you watch that game at all?
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, it was fortunately or unfortunately. So it was a collective loss. He wasn't the outstanding or the worst player in the Yes, he's involved in the matchup. It's like if you go and take a loan to Club Bruges or something like that, you're likely going to be playing in Europa League or something like that. You're going to get slacked by most teams. So you're still playing in Europe. So that's what you want.
Paul Onuachu, he scored in his debut for Trabzonspor against Besiktas. 29 minutes it took him. He could be playing for 29 years and still not score for us.
Yeah, I mean, we're just not playing to his strengths. If we got the ball in the air enough, he'd probably get a header, wouldn't he?
And Elianusi, he scored as well. I know he's not our player anymore, but damn.
Yeah, I see. It's not the first he's scored this season. I think third in all competitions as well.
Is it? Mm. Wow. How many goals did he score for us in his whole time?
Probably three in about 100 appearances or something ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's just everything's going to shit, isn't it? Oh, I hate this game. Under-21s, they played West Ham on Friday the 22nd at Rush Green. That was an entertaining 3-3 draw. Cammy Doyle opened the scoring. West Ham then took a 2-1 lead, and Amo Amayar and Batcherman gave us a 3-2 lead. Only for West Ham to equalise 4 minutes into stoppage time. So, yeah. And the under-18s, they got battered 4-0 by Arsenal at the Arsenal Training Centre on Saturday. Right, OK, so do you want to talk about Ipswich?
Let's do it.
OK, so, yeah, another defeat. That was the third in the row, and the third in September. One thing all these games have in common is defensive errors leading to the goals. As Tim had said, what was it, 10 out of the last 12 have been those our own errors. But, yeah, considering that heavy defeat to Leicester, Russell Martin made one change and it was enforced. Flynn Downs was injured and Joe Aribo was handed his first start. First since May. New look Aribo as well. He had a haircut. I didn't recognise him. Not important. But, yeah, that midfield three of Aribo, Adam Armstrong and Smallbone. Sulemana was back on the bench following that rescinded red card from Leicester, Kev.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
Didn't want it to happen.
No, you did not.
Did. Right? Yeah, 3-match ban for that would have been absolutely ridiculous, though. Yeah, of course, it got overturned.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And Jan Bednarek returned after his injury for Poland, but he was fit enough for the bench. Kev, did you want or expect more changes following that Leicester result?
Yes and no. You think that there are players that maybe should have been in there. Yeah, on the other hand, you know, Russell Martin, we want him to know his best 11. So again, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. I wasn't particularly surprised by the selection. You think that if Bidnarek's good for the bench, you'd put him in there over Charles.
Yeah.
Play Charles in his natural position.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, I'd maybe just not play Aribo in that case.
He does like Aribo. We also learned that, you know, I gave a dozy man of the match against Leicester, and you said that he got subbed off against Leicester though, so, you know, that should have been telling. But he did actually have a slight knock, so that's why he was subbed off in that Leicester game. But, yeah, he was available from the off.
I mean, it looked all right to me. I liked Adam Armstrong at the 10. I think that's a really good shout for him, because he does play two-way. And him being able to link up, make the runs, but also track back, nothing stood out to me. I like Bednar coming back in, but ultimately he's still not a player that I feel like is confident enough to play the ball out of the final, you know, in your own eighth, not even your own third. Basically, you're playing it from the 6-yard line and, and bouncing it around and making mistakes.
What was the thinking in that, though? Because Jan Bednarek on the bench, Kev just said, like, he brought him on in the 56th minute for Aribo. But why did he not start him and play Shea Charles out of position?
I think he's making one or two small tinkers, feeling like they could make that change or link up. But it's just replacing the player. It's not changing the system at all, where he did make some changes, enough changes to consider maybe a system change with for the Middlesbrough game. Ultimately, once again, that one goal led to the Hutchinson goal.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a slow burner, that one, actually. And I thought there was not many chances of note starting off, which I guess was a relief, because you're holding your breath for your first couple of minutes through fear of conceding, you know, an early one for the third game in a row. But Connor Chaplin had the ball in the net, didn't he? But that was ruled off. Wasn't that a foul on Bazunu?
Yeah, it was a bit of a goal man scramble, wasn't it? And yeah, it was ruled off for a foul. That's a warning shot we should have heeded.
Yeah. I think we responded quite well after that, because I think it was that point that Shea hit the side netting. And then
Charles from KWP.
Oh yes, that was the Shea Charles header as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was a quick cross in, and Shea Charles, I think he's got a great header. I think he's going to score one of these here and there. at some point in time, he's so close, and a few of them have been saved, a few of them just been off. I think that's a strong part to his game right now that he can take, but passing out of the back is not, because that error for the Hutchinson goal was directly on him.
Yes. Yes, and that was it, half an hour. We've done it again. Another mistake playing out from the back. Shea Charles, as Tim just said, the culprit, just ran out of space and time, and Hutchinson takes it and fires it off the post. That's just, it's a sucker punch, but it's something that we expected. I think I said in the Discord, Kev, that we need to start taking predictions of when we're going to give the ball away and concede from it, because it's just happening so often.
You know, I mean, I don't think you would have had a bet on 30 minutes. I think 30 seconds would be a bet.
Maybe we could break it up into six parts. So obviously, like 0 to 15. And,
seconds.
No, not quite. Again, yeah, something we expected. And for that, for the third game in a row, then we concede in this fashion and not learning from the mishaps, seemingly. Bazunu then plays a shit pass to Aribo, who's got nowhere to go, and he's dispossessed, and then they hit the crossbar.
There's no change. There's no setup. He takes the ball just outside of the box, but at what is the 6-yard mark, and tries to take it up through the middle. Everyone's clogging it, and he's looking for the angle, in which the angle's not there, so he proceeds to play a pass that basically would have gone to nowhere, even if he wasn't dispossessed right then. They make the counter, they make the right runoff, and he makes a clinical finish and does a round-off handspring, which looked really cool, but absolute fucking stuck.
Yeah, I thought we were falling apart from there, and I was kind of just praying for halftime, because they had so many chances again. I mean, Wes Burns let us off the hook, didn't he? He had a shot that curled it with the outside of his right. Those are the key moments as well, because it was our response after that was just weak, and that midfield, the three just shrunk a bit, and that's where we're lacking, isn't it? We don't have that warrior in the middle there that can take hold of the game. And the stats say it was fairly even, but I just think we rode our luck, and we could have been three down at that point. And it was, yeah, just the sinking feeling from there.
Yeah, I mean, the whole of that second half, I mean, the pressure was on. Yeah, it's not as if they didn't try, but it was just not quite enough, wasn't it? Most of the ball, you're taking the best of the shots, but there's just something lacking.
Yeah, and it was at that point I was thinking, Christ, looking at the bench, like, what could Russell Martin do here? Could he have done more at that point? I mean, what else could he have done? Amo Amayar being introduced, possibly?
It was quite a bit of a... We could have had a bit of a shock, couldn't we? I mean, bring on Stu, Alcaraz, Sulemana, Mara. I mean, yeah, these are some attacking options.
All impact players, yeah. Well, apart from Mara.
Well, I mean, Sulemana, if you can say it to me.
But, I mean, we created no clear-cut chances throughout, and despite the possession and shots and the corners, there was no real, real chances.
Yeah, I mean, I really was expecting a one-all draw. I went a bit Joe Tess in there, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
We just didn't quite have enough in the second half. Just trying to squeeze shit out of you.
Yeah, Tim, we slipped down to 13th following those Wednesday fixtures as well. But looking at that table before Middlesbrough, like I said, yeah, Sunderland lost 5-0. They were up to fourth. Leicester, probable champions, up to second. And Ipswich were doing brilliantly, up to third after that. As I say, the teams are in great form, but we just need to take our chances against the weaker teams, and Middlesbrough being one of those, especially at the moment. And we just haven't done it again.
It's just been absolute piss poor. You couldn't imagine a worse design of September. You've got great teams that you need to be able to be competitive against, and you go and you lose 5-0 and get smacked to Sunderland, and then you're like, okay, well, that's absolutely terrible. That's the one-off of the year, and we're getting it out of the way early, which, okay. So then you're playing Leicester, you got to get a result. If you can get a result, that's expected. I'm not going to complain about if we drew that game. If we lost that game, you could have even chalked that off as, yeah, they're a great team. It's but like the only outside of Leicester and Leeds, those are the only two teams that I could potentially even say that for. Then you still let Ipswich on a down game beat us, which we had a few chances here and there, but we couldn't convert them, and of course they take advantage of that. And now a Middlesbrough team, which we come in and are completely downtrodden, feel terrible, and make more individual errors leading to them winning. Debilitating. It's not nice. It's not fun.
It's not nice. That's a nice way to put it. Kev, have you got any stats?
Again, I don't have the XG, so if you've got that route out. But,
I do have the XG, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, possession, we have 58.5% possession. 13 shots, they had 11. Pass success, 80.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com. And live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
3%. Yeah, 751 touches, 547 passes, 83% accuracy. Shots on target, 3 each.
Yeah, not the most exciting games. But do you want to have a guess at the XG?
Like 0.4 for us, 0.7 for them.
We had 0.8 and they had...
We did have 0.8, actually. Yeah, we had 0.8 and they had 0.7. So, Kev, you said 0.7 for Ipswich, and Tim, you said 0.8 for Saints. So, yeah, got a better XG than them, and yet we come up... blank panic stations. Russell Martin, then, he said, the one thing I didn't enjoy was the reaction to the disappointment. The last three games have been defined by how we reacted to disappointment. We haven't reacted well enough at all. The first 20 minutes after we conceded were the toughest moments in the match because we weren't brave enough to keep playing. It's really frustrating to concede a poor goal again, but it's about how we react. Yeah, and how are you going to react? The whole place has so much scar tissue, supporters and players, so much disappointment. We have to stop conceding poor goals. It's that simple. There will be loads I will be positive about, but overriding feeling is we aren't together enough in those disappointing moments. It's down to one thing, courage. We weren't brave enough. How we bounce back on Saturday will be down to the same thing. How did we bounce back?
Bounce backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Losing to a bottom of the table team. So, yeah, you can talk about that reaction all you want and it's not working at all. Man of the match, then. I'm going to go first because I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm going to give it to Kyle Walker-Peters because I just thought he was much better than the previous two games because he wasn't very good in those. Didn't make any glaring errors, and it was, I don't know, he was just more involved in the attacking side, I think, and the defensive side too as well. Most tackles, most interceptions, second for blocks. He had the most progressive carries as well. The chances we did have came from him. The Adams one, the Shea Charles header as well. So it wasn't really a surprise that he led in XA as well. So I'm just going to give it to Kyle Walker-Peters.
I'm just going to end up saying exactly what you've just said. Yeah, just compared to the previous game, big improvement and good crosses. Better off when he's playing as a right back and not a right wing back. He's
or
not
a left back.
Doing all that overlapping. Oh yeah, or a left back. We've got another match to get into and it's going to be an absolute mystery of the selection. But in that game, much better, much improved, you know, with a little bit of luck or maybe some slightly better performing player at the end of his balls, so to speak. Could have been a good night for Kyle Peters.
Kyle Walker-Peters had a lot of fight going for him, and I don't think he did anything wrong in the game, which is to say something for us if that's the bar of
yeah success. isn't that weird that we're not looking for who played the best, which we're looking at who didn't suck the most.
Yes, and that's the sign of where we're at now. But Kyle Walker-Peters, progressive movements is what he was very, very good at in that game. So I'll roll with that.
Hat trick for Kyle Walker-Peters then. Okay, so then we go to Middlesbrough on Saturday. 1-0 up, threw it away, a new low, fourth defeat in a row, handing Middlesbrough their first win, sorry. More errors again, not enough going forward again, just flat and got what we deserved. And yeah, the changes then, the three changes, very, very interesting 11. Manning, Aribo and Adozie all drop out. Holgate, Downs and Bednarik back in, and Holgate at right back. If you're wondering why Manning wasn't playing, Kev, it was because apparently he needed rest and recovery, and then he decided to put him on straight at the second half. So 45 minutes did all the world of good for him, apparently.
Apparently.
What are your thoughts on the very interesting 11 from Russell Martin?
I mean, it's a fucking wind-up, isn't it?
Is he being played by
Holgate right back, KWP left back. Flynn Downs being in there hasn't really proved himself. Front three can't argue. Adams, Armstrong, Fraser, yeah, they've all been good. Charles in his natural position, great. Thankfully, Bednarik's back. But yeah, what Manning's done to be taken out of the team is just beyond me.
Rest and recovery. That was it. Just 45 minutes, though.
Weird. No, just play him from the beginning. If we can afford to take him off, then do it. But don't understand that. Holgate, I mean, he's bad enough as a centre back, let alone on the flank. Don't get it.
No, not at all. Tim, that midfield has come under scrutiny after Ipswich. So he goes with Downs, Smallbone and Childs. No attacking threat there at all whatsoever. Alcaraz, we've talked about that in the news, like he's having some problems at the moment. Stu, obviously, he's not favoured either. But this is Russell Martin trying to play to his strengths. Midfield three that he kind of trusts and all happy with the ball at their feet, but is it just too negative?
In context, if you were thinking about solidifying your defense, you would throw a couple center backs in there and voila, you've got a better defense. Well, turns out that Mason Holgate is not a right back.
And he's not a center back also, either.
And he's absolute trash. So you've got three center backs, and then you've got a fourth who in Shea Charles, who's supposed to be a defensive midfielder. Understandable there. But you've got to play a right. I mean, and you're like thinking, okay, let's just not let them get a goal. If they get through halftime, you can maybe say, all right, we've got the defense, we've managed that, we've held them in check. Then you can play a little bit more offensive. And maybe he was already planning to bring Manny on. Regardless, our midfield is piss poor because there's no movement or no progression. And there is no support. I don't think there was very much support for them going for the defenders going backwards. So they defenders played not as high of a line as they would normally do. But then the midfield didn't show up. They weren't able to be well in possession. If you look at the heat map and the possession stats, it's poor. It's obviously with the balls with our center backs. And to me, like in theory, the moves made sense. And then you can go on the front foot, go on the attack. And then progress and do his thing, and we could act like we were in August. Well, you just completely, once again, an individual error led to their goal in the first, in the second half too, but into the first half after we've been fairly successful and had a good 1-2 from Adams and Armstrong.
I just want to go back to that midfield three again, Kev, because yeah, Downs, Smallbone, Charles, all very defensive. Dean Hammond actually said on commentary that he's not sure whether it's one holding with two in front or is it going to be two holding with one in front. And we still didn't know because they're all very similar sort of players. And when you've got the likes of Stuart Armstrong, Suleiman and Alcaraz and stuff on the bench, I just wanted to see them go for it against a team that's struggling. And then they've got to be down on their confidences. But we're just giving them too much to have a go at, I think. It was a negative start. They were very deep. They weren't pressing at all. Well, they weren't pressing as high. And it seemed like they were setting up not to concede rather than just to have a go at them. And that midfield three was key for me.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been fine if we had managed to sit on our lead. But we just were just too complacent after that. We didn't really give it anything at all.
Well, I don't mind scoring and then sitting back on those three defensive midfielders because that's pretty much what Middlesbrough did. When they went 2-1 up, they went and sat back. I don't mind that as much, but we didn't do that from the off. And it's just like he's playing negative now, Russell Martin, because he's afraid of conceding these goals. But whatever he's doing at the moment, it's not working. Borough controlled possession, didn't they? It was too negative for me, and I really felt like they should have played a bit more of an attacking setup and just gone for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that, pretty like said, possession, it's 50-50, wasn't it?
But we did open the scoring. Adam Armstrong, yeah, Adams and Adam doing good. Great run from Armstrong, great pass from Shea, and even Downs passed forward in that build-up as well. So that was very nice. And it was nice to actually go ahead for once, Tim, and not giving ourselves a mountain to climb. We just decided to do it a different way instead.
Those are the types of movements and the attacks that we are expecting from, and Adams and Armstrong leading to it makes complete and perfect sense. A good through ball, Armstrong makes the run, boom, that's the first goal. And we then take, outside of that movement, we have taken away what is the best part of Martin's system, is that when you do hold the ball, they don't have the ball. Therefore, they cannot score. So while it's definitely regressive in nature, if you hold the ball a whole lot more, there's less chances for them to score. We've just given up any of our ability to have what would be a potential success in holding the ball and just say, all right, we're going to play defensive. Maybe it's going to be a mid block. And yet they still fucking go through us and we make those individual errors.
Yeah, and Dean Hammond said again on comms that it was just bad game management. And it's as simple as that. It's just... Why is it as simple as that, Kev? Was it just switch off and get punished? And you just can't. He was saying that you need to manage these games at this point in time. It's like you need to get in at half time. So you need to be thinking in your head, like, what do we need to do here to stop them at this moment in time? And is it just as simple as that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of against Leicester, you know, we could have just get to half time at 2-1, it's anyone's game, and then we let in the third, and it's difficult to come back from that.
Yeah, it changes the half time talk, doesn't it? It's
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got 1-0 up, and you know, we just had to score a second, and that's it. But yeah, we just went completely off the boil after that goal. The first 20 minutes, I thought we were good.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
Get the goal, give up.
Yeah, Riley McGree, I got that killer punch right on the verge of half-time again. Mason Holgate was caught out, and yeah, he just hit one, didn't he? And that's it, clean sheet gone. I was actually thinking that we were going to get a clean sheet, but obviously it didn't happen. I got a few half-time stats for you, Kev, because we only had 38% possession at the break. And that's not Martin's style, is it? So that was a clear indicator that he had tweaked things slightly and allowing teams the ball, you know. We had 7 shots apiece, and both were just 1 on target, and we were outpassed as well, so 240 to their 392. So, yeah, it's just he obviously wanted to sit back, because you see that Shea and Adam Armstrong weren't pressing up high as well. They were kind of like sitting in the middle, just trying to stop the breaks, I guess. Again, second half it all went to shit because that, you know, that didn't happen, and Ryan Manning comes on and Mason Holgate is off, which allows Kai Walker-Peters to go back to his normal right-back position. Very, very flat second half. Just first 20 minutes, fine. And then the rest of it was just awful. Well, we made all those changes. Who was it? Come on. Sulemana, Adozie and Stu, they all came on. So the bodies went forward. And yet Middlesbrough looked more threatening.
Well, he reverted back to what was the previous 3 or 4 games where we're completely making errors. So there was no change in that. Insanity is the idea that you repeat the same task and you expect a different outcome. Yeah. I think that's the term. And to me, revert back to it all and you maybe have more potential front foot, but it still looked poor. And we didn't look like we had chances. We could make the chances, and then you led to another individual error to the second goal.
Yeah, the second goal, Kev, the Harwood Bellis pulling Josh Coburn. Stupid mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't have really happened in the first place. Anyway, it's Shea Giles losing the ball again that leads to that moment. Was it a penalty? I mean, I think the commentators at the time described it as like a 50-50. I mean, I think Howard Bellis does put him down, and I think it's a penalty, to be honest.
I do, but yeah, Russell Martin had said that both were pulling each other.
Yeah, that's true, but you know, only one of them landed in the box. The floor, so,
Do you have any stats, Kevin?
Yeah, we did say it was quite even, wasn't it? It was 51-49 on possession. Yep, 746 touches. I mean, I think most of the games are pretty much the same, aren't they? So it's going to be 750 now. Yeah, 571 passes, 87% pass success. We had 14 shots to their 15. Both had 5 shots on target. But the XG for this one is ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. What is it, 1.2 for Saints I've got, and 2.8 for Borough.
3.11 for Borough.
Oh.
1.44%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had a look back. It is crazy considering they're bottom of the league and they've got no confidence at the moment. But I look back at Borough's previous XG because I thought that's fucking high, isn't it, for a team like that? They're 0.7, 2.1, 1.5, 1.8, 2.0, 1.3. So by far their best attacking display. They created more, got more shots on target. Got the points, and it's not really a surprise, is it? It's it's absolutely fucking horrible. 15th from the table, 10 points, played 8, won 3, drawn 1, lost 4, and that's 4 in a row. I want to read his interview. I thought we were actually better than we have been. We started the game well, we stole the ball really well, and Shea Adams should have scored.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
Our goal was really good. We didn't keep hold of the ball. If you're not going to press, you need to look after the ball. We didn't do any of that. Up until the last 15 minutes, when it became a bit of a helter-skelter, because we were chasing the game, I thought we had lots of control in the second half.
No.
Did we now? Did we have control? I'm struggling. No. Yeah, I don't think we did. After that, it's a bit difficult to create when a team is defending for their life. The energy in the stadium and the crowd were really willing them on. We didn't do enough to break them down.
Yeah.
We were chasing the game at the end. We are away from home and we need to draw. Well, we need to win. But yeah, it's I don't know what he was talking about, that controlling the game. And as for the energy in the stadium and the crowd really willing them on, is that a dig at us? At being, you know, that we can't will our players on it against
it? We boo them at half time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm done. Really am. Man of the match. Someone. Anyone.
The ref. For
blowing the whistle. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. I don't know why. I'm going to give it to Smallbone again. He wasn't that good. Nobody was.
Mm.
I like him in that position. I like him with Charles behind him. It seems to be able to pick out a pass. He's a lot quicker than a lot of the other players and doesn't get beaten on the ball so much. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to be there 10th.
Okay, I'm going to give it to Bednarek. That, you're going to be like, what? Why? You know,
but whatever's... not looking so shit next to Harwood Bellis.
Yeah. Well, whatever's wrong with this defence, right, it's not him. Because both goals weren't his fault. He did nothing wrong. And he did well cutting out a lot of crosses. So, I mean, I remember a couple of times just saying to myself, oh, well done, Yanni, because I thought he was cutting out a few things. And that was the only thing that I remembered cheering for, apart from the goal, which looked pretty good. Other than that, yeah, I don't think Adam Armstrong had a very, very good game after that. So I'm not going to give it to him. So, yeah, I'm just going to give it to Jan Bednarek. I think we do need his experience at the back. And I cannot wait for Jack Stevens to come back. Who would have thought it?
Our midfield, Smallbone was the best of a terrible bunch in the midfield. Wow. I mean, just looking at it, who made the impact? Armstrong made the runs in the first half. Adams made some good hold-up play. Fraser didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't do anything spectacular anyway.
I thought he was very quiet in the first half.
Yeah, he was quiet, but you know, when you're against possession and the potential to flip the field for the few of them were sitting long balls. And if you want to, you know, pitch a long ball to a hobbit, he's not going to really get it compared to Dale Fry, who's literally a man. I mean, just a man among boys, especially with Fraser. Dale Fry is great. I think he was pretty good. But I will give it to Adam Armstrong. Because I think with the goal scored, playing all 90 minutes, who tracks back, plays both ways, he's been our best player this year so far, and I will give it to him for his commitment to what is a shit cause.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to read the pundit games, the scores from all your so yeah, basically you've submitted your player ratings. So everyone who's done it, thank you. We'll read out some of those comments in a second. But, yeah, have a guess at who do you think won this week.
Armstrong?
It was Armstrong, yeah. 5.89, Adam Armstrong wins it. Can you guess who was at the bottom?
Holgate.
Yeah, like Holgate.
0.2 or something.
No, he actually scored 2.5. So, yeah. And then Harwood Bellis backing him up at 3.4. along with Ariba at the bottom. Adozie actually was second, and he only came on the field at the end, so yeah, 5.78. Stuart Armstrong was third with 5.6. Jan Bednarek was fourth with 5.4. Kai Walker-Peters also 5.4. Your Smallbone, Kev, 4.4.
Okay.
Again, yeah, kind of middling, but not terrible. Well, I suppose it is, isn't it, when you score a four on average. But yeah, I'm going to read out some of these comments that you put. Okay, so the first one says, a system flaw combined with a comedy of errors leads to what feels like a long stay in the championship. Yeah, we are getting relegated at this rate. Fucking shite. Thank you. perfect. Next one, soulless, lacking so much in all facets of the game. Is Russell Martin to blame here? Definitely should be considered. Yeah. Tough to say which match is the most disappointing. Borough looked horrendous with lots of stray passes and little to offer going forward, save for a beast with zero finesse. Yet at no point did I feel like Saints were in control. No identity, toothless attack. Pathetic is an understatement. Wow, that's brilliant. We are not Manchester City. Stop trying to be. We have to sort out the fundamentals, defending properly, aggressively winning the ball back, trusting your teammates and having a strong leader on the pitch. Yep, absolutely spot on. Timid performance, no killer instinct whatsoever, flawed players and a flawed system. And lastly, needed Stew on at half time or straight after to steady the ship. I can get on board with that one, definitely. Absolutely fucking terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah, we're going to go to the preview in a second. Tim's going to give us his lowdown on Leeds. But I want a score prediction from you. And I think I'm up first, so I'm going to go 3-1 Leeds.
I'm just going to copy that. That was my original score prediction, so I'm going to go with that. I thought I'd lighten things up with a little quiz.
Oh, good. We need to lighten up.
Quiz with a twist. And judging by the first couple of questions, you should see how I created this quiz. So it's called Football Club or Designated Terrorist Organization.
Okay, this is going to be interesting.
So as a warm-up, you can both have a go at this. We've got Young Boys against the Proud Boys.
Yeah, Young Boys are a football team.
Yeah, Young Boys, Swiss Premier League. And Proud Boys, yeah, of course, the North American far-right neo-fascist militants. All right, so I'm going to start with Tim. Your options are Al-Shabaab and Al-Shabaab.
Al-Shabaab is the football team, and Al-Shabaab is the designated terrorist organization.
Absolutely right, yeah, Al-Shabaab in the Saudi Pro League, and Al-Shabaab, of course, yeah, the Somalian Sunni Islamist militants. Ray, your options are Al-Ittihad and Al-Ittihad.
Ittihad are the football team.
Yep, and Al-Ittihad is, of course, the Somali Islamist militant group, yeah.
Woohoo! Doing well, Tim. We're nailing this.
It does make you wonder where did the Saudis get their idea for the football team names? Okay, this does run the risk, of course, of becoming a little bit Islamophobic, so I'm going to vary things a little bit. Yeah, Ray, your options are April the 25th and November the 17th.
The one of those is a football team.
Yeah.
Who would name their football team April or November? I'm just going to have a complete guesser here and say that April is the name of the football team.
April 25th, yeah, they are the Democratic People's Republic of Korea Premier League champions, of course. November the 17th movement is a Greek Marxist-Leninist guerrilla organization. Tim, your options are the Grey Wolves and the Red Wolves.
So the Red Wolves are the Arkansas State football team. And the Grey Wolves, which recently turned into the Sea Wolves, are a football team and U.S. College team from Long Island.
So they're both football teams.
Yes.
Yeah. So if he's talking about gridiron football, yes, that might be the snag. They're both soccer. They're not both. One of them's a soccer team and the other one's not.
I'm going to go with Red Wolves are the soccer team and Grey Wolves are the non-soccer team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, the Red Wolves I was talking about, though, they're in Chattanooga. Chattanooga Red Wolves, they're in the USL League One. I don't know how low that is, but it's quite a low league. Grey Wolves, of course, as everyone knows, are a Turkish far-right paramilitary organization that are banned in Kazakhstan.
Everybody knows that, yeah.
Everybody knows that. Ray, okay, your options are Abu Sayyaf and Al-Orabah.
Abu Sayyaf as the football team.
Abu Sayyaf, I'm afraid not. It's an Islamic State in the Philippines. Al-Orabah is a Saudi First Division side. Tim, your options.
Sorry, Tim, I've let the side down here. We were doing so well.
Shit, I haven't been keeping track, but that's the first one we got wrong, isn't it? Al-Jabalain and Al-Murabitun.
Al-Murabitun is the football team. I'm
afraid you're wrong. Al-Murabitun is North and West African jihadists.
Oh, I thought you said Al-Jabalain.
Hey, they might have a football team too.
Al-Murabitun, that's what Newcastle and United are known as now.
That's what I was going to go with as well, Tim, because of that.
Yeah. Al Jebelain are a Saudi first division side. Okay, let's take this out to the Middle East. Tim, I'll start you off then. I think this is the last one I've got. 3-3 so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tim, your options are Lupe Ole Soaga and Weichan Auka Mapu.
Can you repeat them, please?
I want to Google them.
Lupe Ole Soaga and Weichan Auka Mapu.
I think I know the answer to this one.
Lupe sounds South American and Weichan sounds East Asian. And the last part of it sounds African. So to me, I'm going to go with Lupe is the football team.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, your logic's completely flawed, but the answer's right. So our listeners will certainly know. Are there 7-time Samoan National League champions from Tuanaimato?
Yeah, see, I knew that.
Samoa.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Weichan Auka Mapu. They are Chilean armed revolutionary organization. So, yeah, wrong concept there, but you've got the right answer. Finally, Ray.
Yes.
Your options are Bnei Sakhnin and Kachkahanai Chai.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say
Bnei Sakhnin and Kachkahanai Chai.
Kachkahanai Chai. I'm going to say they're a football team.
I'm afraid not. Kachkahanai Chai are a banned radical Zionist political party from Israel. Bnei Sakhnin, they're an Arab Israeli team that play in the Israeli Premier League. So yeah, even Stevens, so it'll carry it over to next week. I'll probably continue this after another terrible loss. A terrible win for whoever we're playing. Leeds are going to thump us. So
yeah, that's great. Thanks, Kev. That was excellent. We needed that. Discord then on our predictions. Two games we have to tot up. Ipswich and Borough, obviously. After these, Tim Brucker still has his lead at the top. And four people going with Borough wins. Only four. Dan Fox, very brave, though. Dan Fox, Frederick Lazaro, Greg Kapling, and Alex Haas. So, yeah, don't forget to get your Leeds predictions in. And Super 6, round 6 was won by Kevin Byrne. It was 16 points. The overall at the moment is Andrew Knight on 61, but round 7 is ongoing. Fantasy football then, Kev, how are we looking?
Haaland, the only one that scored me any points this week. Oh, no, okay. 46 points I won last time, right? Still leaves me 9th out of the Potters. I'm 69th in the big league. Whereabouts are you?
In the big league, I'm 95th, but I did go up.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I went up a little bit.
So I had a response. That's what I had. Trust the process.
Yeah. Tim's still quite high, isn't he? He's 21st. Well, it looks like he's going to jump up a little bit more. He's got 60 points. Top three, Callum Griffin jumps up with his Zidane floor. Doesn't make sense, but he's got 342 points nonetheless. We ate Pompey, Tommy Rafferty. Taken the top spot taken from him, 346 points that he has. 5 points above him is Gaz Smith with his Gazalacticos. Well done, Gaz.
Gaffer.
No, Gaffer. Yeah, I've got 464 points, which I imagine could keep me top.
Top. Yeah.
Tim Brucker, 20 points behind me. Not just doing well in our prediction league, but also I'm kicking butt in our fantasy championship. You're in third now.
Yeah, I took Tim out with a week behind, I will say. I think you should give me the average that you guys score and at the end, and I'll add that to my score. No,
like.
It was my fault for not doing it in time, so yeah. But yeah.
71 points this week.
Oh, wow. I got 48, I think, this week. Yeah, I got 48 points. Not very good. Okay, right, we're going to head on to the preview then, the Leeds preview with Tim. So, yeah, let's do that now. Okay, then, so off the back of those four defeats in a row, we have Leeds coming to St Mary's on Saturday, the 30th of September. It's a 12:30 kickoff at St Mary's. It's also on Sky Sports. So, yeah, two massive clubs in the championship going head-to-head again, going in completely different directions, though. I mean, Leeds in fifth, they had an easy 3-0 victory yesterday over Watford. And they've got Joel Pirro, who's doing the business. Our summer signing is still out injured. they've got a manager in Daniel Farke who knows what he's doing. He, you know, plays to their strength, and he's doing it very nicely. And will they probably look to push on from their winning ways, no doubt. But yeah, I'm not really filled with any confidence with Leeds, Tim.
Exactly what we don't need right now. Well, then again, we needed Middlesbrough, who is the worst team in the league, to be able to kind of pick ourselves and get ourselves back going. And we shoot ourselves in the foot for the fourth week in a row, or fourth game in a row, that is.
Any chance of turning our fortunes around against Leeds?
Let's start with their nickname, and that's the Pricks, right? Aren't they? Isn't that what we call them? Yeah, the Lily Whites, although I think that might be pressed into just the Whites. But, well, historically very successful with their main years in the 1970s and the 1990s, but then those financial issues knocked them back down to the Championship, League One for a hot minute and a couple years, and then their recent return in 2020, thanks to Marcelo Bielsa. So taking a look, last year they got relegated alongside us, and they went all the way to the last week of the season. Jesse Marsh, who kept them up in May of 2022 with a win away against Brentford, led to a middling start at the season and got fired along the way. Could not, and nobody could be able to kind of keep them back up. And even they had to try and bring Big Sam in, who couldn't do his magic, and he's off eating gravy at the pub right now. So, well, this season, you know, must be considered favorites for promotion. I think that's every relegated team should be, though. And we said that about Leicester, and that really should be what to expect from them. And especially with Daniel Farke, he has a strong history with Norwich. He got them promoted twice, and he's familiar with the slog, the issues of the Championship and the day-to-day and the week-to-week and the month-to-month, just the game after game. He's got them fighting with one of the strongest attacks in the Championship. And I'd say he's likely to get them promoted again, especially with their last four games in a row that they haven't let a goal in. So,
oh, Jesus, that's a worry, isn't it?
Oh, my God, it's so bad. And although they have they got a red card early in the game, last game previous to Watford, they still went 0-0, and that's got to be a plus when you get a red card early in the game.
Mm.
So, oh, it's scary. Usually, we start with incomings, but I want to talk about outgoings. And that's because of the relegation. They had some unique setups in their contract where we had an automatic relegation clause where it dropped them 40% in terms of their salary, which is widely reported but never really confirmed. They have automatic acceptance clauses for loan bids. So if a club came in and the player wanted to go somewhere else, the club was automatically required to accept that loan if the salary is covered at least a minimum of 100%. So that allowed players to keep their full salary, knowing that they didn't negotiate that automatic drop. They wanted to say, well, I want to keep that salary. And you know, if they're dropping from 40,000 to 32,000 a week, that's still a big deal for them. And while for us who make pittance compared to it, it's still a big deal, and they just wanted to keep those salaries. So seeing last year's team, many of the starters are actually now on loan. So big names you might recognize off the top of my head: Jack Harrison, Luis Sinisterra, Max Wilber, Robin Koch, Diego Llorente, Rasmus Christensen, Mark Rocha, and Brendan Aaronson. None of them have been sold. All of them are out on loan elsewhere, whether it be in Europe or they're all in Europe, but whether they are at Premier League teams, Sinisterra is at Bournemouth, Jack Harrison is at Everton, Brendan Aaronson's at Union Berlin, Diego Llorente is in Roma. So they're all over the place right now. So they're seeing that as an opportunity that they were able to transfer out some of those wages, but still keep in a decent amount of their players.
To me, that just seems like they are only intending to be in the Championship for 1 year, doesn't it? They will recall those players back once they get back to the big time in the Premier League. That's what it seems like. You know, they're doing some decent business there, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you know, there are probably a couple of those are not going to want to come back. They'll maybe there's options for loans that they were able to go. So I don't expect all of them. I expect maybe two or three of them to be signed off, and maybe they'll recognize that while he's an American and followed him closely, Brendan Aaronson really didn't do a whole lot outside of just run around and press the players, whereas somebody like Jack Harrison, who's could slot back into the lineup and be fine, but if you take a look at their attack, it's absolutely disgusting, and I am I won't say I'm scared of it, but very, very, very nervous to being able to see what they have in terms of the rotation. So if you take a look at their attack rotation and their current players right now, let's take a look. You've got Patrick Banford, while perennially injured, successful in his own right the last few years. You got Dane James, while championship quality, still at that level of press, good attitude, able to be successful and be able to commit to the team here for the season. Jaden Anthony on loan from Bournemouth, as they got, really good player, had a good number of goals, I think four or five goals last year for Bournemouth. And then you've got Rutter. So he was signed in from some French team, and I'm sorry, I don't know that off the top of my head, but he was signed for like £28 million. So absolutely huge, huge, huge amount of money, but also can match that in terms of quality. And some of their new additions then, Joel Perreault from Swansea, we were completely linked with him. I think we burned our bridges with Swansea after getting Martin and then picking up Ryan Manning. Although he was out of contract, and it seems like that was the right choice to let him go, because he's been shit for us towards the end. the other two additions that they had that are starting or regularly involved, Ethan Ampadu, who could be considered a center back, but also that defensive midfielder, plays for Wales and came in from Chelsea. And at the end of the window, Glenn Kamara came in, also center mid, right in that 6-8 range.
I think he was linked with us at one point.
Yes, he was. And addition from Rangers. So we've got Aribo from Rangers. So maybe we wanted to stay away from it. I mean, and then they still like a lot of, I don't know, players too. Meslier, Liam Cooper, like I said, Patrick Benford, Dan James, and two other loan signings they got. Joe Roden from Tottenham and Jed Spence from Tottenham. Spence, who was that really, really, really good looking right wing back playing for Middlesbrough there. Did a fantastic job, and then all of a sudden has fallen off the wayside, and we haven't heard from him in 2 years. So they had a really really slow start at the beginning, because they were kind of had issues with incomings, outgoings, who's going to stay. They had a huge issue with Willie Ganoto, where they're all singing in the concourse about get him out of the club. We don't want to play. If you don't want to play, you don't want to practice. And yet he's still there and he's starting, and he scored like two or three goals. And he basically told them to shut up the fans after he scored those goals. And the fans are eating it now. Tactics. Daniel Farke, 4-2-3-1 all season long. You're never going to see anything change from him. Pragmatic in defense, but because of their attack, he can just let them go with flair. Just let them go. Let them do their thing. Get him in the right positions, set to start out, and just let them rotate off. Thinking this through, I think Leeds, this is one of the best championships attack I've ever seen. And I've been following it now 6, 7, 8 years or so. And so much money is invested in their attack, and the talent is absolutely there. So strength-wise, Somerville, Rutter, Perreault, James, Anthony, Bamford, Ganoto. But if you take a look at those rotations, that's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting to me.
And well, they've certainly got enough to hinder us, haven't they? I mean, let's face it, if Middlesbrough have, then Leeds certainly have.
Yeah, but I wanted to try and find a weakness. And if you take a look at their defense, they have no new players in terms of improvement. They have Joe Rodone, but he hasn't played very much at all. Jed Spence hasn't even started.
Nope.
Any games, not even their game against Salford City, which they lost in penalty kicks. So they're out of the Carabao Cup, which they're truly focused on the league. So can they be exposed in talent? I mean, they finished 19th in the Premier League last year, and no massive improvements. But Park has got them playing really, really well. Four shutouts in the last four games, and I'm scared. Leeds are hot. We're not. We look like frauds after, you know, a decent-looking August, and I kept saying September was the key. September was the key, and that's going to determine our season. And we've been absolutely flat foot, and there's nothing good that we can say about this past September and looking like a destined for a long stay in the championship. There's no way this game doesn't end in some sort of tragedy unless some sort of outlier happens, like a red card. We've lost our attack, and we've kept that leaky defense. Like, so he's made the adjustments, and he's only made the attack worse. And yes, we lost a few of the signing. Yeah, I think primarily Tella was that hopeful person we were looking for in the attack. But this is the best attack inside the league. They're going to completely trounce us. And if Martin lets go a 3-0 loss like I'm predicting, I think he'll be the first person to be fired in the league.
Wow, so a double prediction. You're going for a 3-0 Leeds win and a firing for Russell Martin.
I would say if we get absolutely trounced, he's going to have to go, because the fans are going to turn on him, and that would be a 5 losses in a row against teams that we should be competing against. And I think he's going to be the first person. If Neil, you want to consider Neil Warnock leaving on his own, maybe he would. They were kind of saying, we're going to fire you because you suck. But he's like, oh, I'll just leave on my own and it'll be nice. I think that this is Martin's going to be called out as a fraud, and something's wrong. Something's absolutely wrong.
Definitely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Okay, so yes, Tim, yeah, brilliant. a nice 3-0 loss there. And next week, we'll touch on that home loss to Leeds. And we'll prepare for a further 2 games as we go to Stoke on a cold, wet, windy Tuesday night. And then back home in sunny Southampton to face lowly Rotherham United. Surely a 6-point week upcoming. Yeah, watch out the championship. So yes, until next week, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.